I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh outweighed the bad. I thought we'd get.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We all come together during this tumultuous time to celebrate the great Steve Klauke. Play-by-play voice of the Salt Lake Bees for nearly three decades. Announcing today that this will be his last season, unless over the next 10 minutes, Hans and I can talk him out of it. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing much better than I thought I'd be today, but it's been quite the whirlwind day, but I'm as comfortable as I thought, more comfortable than I thought I would be with the decision.
So, Steve, Scotty and I feel like we're the Alamo right now. We're kind of the last line of defense that we could stop this movement. Is there anything that we can do to convince you otherwise, remind you of all the great food that you see on the road and all the great baseball that you've got in front of you? I mean, is there anything Scotty and I can do to reverse the decision?
You know, the first thing you'd have to do is clear it through the misses at home.
Oh, that's not happening.
You know, this may be surprising to a lot of people, but when we didn't have a season in 2020, she actually liked having me home.
Like, I could get used to this.
Was that like, you know, having that 2020 season, what was that like? Was that just an indicator of what life could be like?
Yeah, it was like retirement without the fun. And so I will say this, you know, I don't come even close to Scotty's level, but my yard looked as good as it ever looked because that's all I had time for.
Oh, man, Steve, I will say, and Hans and I were talking earlier in the show, and I think we speak for a lot of people, that when you're driving around on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of summer and you've got the radio on a Bees game, there isn't anything better, man. And it's going to bum me out not to hear it, but I am glad that you're going to have a year where you can kind of celebrate and enjoy, you know, places like Reno again. And
gee, thanks. Yeah, Reno's the last place in the league I get to go to. But then again, it's not Fresno.
Oh, that's the send-off, huh?
Yeah, Reno's the send-off. We do close out at home, but that's my last road series is Reno.
So I came up with a suggestion when Scotty let me know that you'd be on the show at 2 o'clock today. I thought, man, what if Steve did like a Kobe Bryant exit tour where it's my time and you just make it your time on air. Just talk about what you want. Make it kind of a I used to do a show with Carl Malone many years ago. It was through my eyes with Carl Malone, and he would talk about elk urine and all kinds of things. What if you just made it the Steve Klocke Tour and had a little bit of fun and made it all about you for the upcoming season?
No. I have so much fun doing this, Hans and Scott, but you know what? The game should be centerpiece. I see some of the things that are going on now. Guys posting their highlights on social media with half the screen being the game and half the screen being on a camera that's on them while they're brought. The game is first and foremost, and that's what I've always thought, and it should always be.
Honestly, by the way,
you're the best.
Speaking of a guy that was, how should I say this, forced to do that this year, you are speaking the truth, man.
In some cases, the broadcaster has no choice. Some cases they do, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, along those lines, especially for you, Hans, I came up with a list of the best three football players the Bees franchise has ever had.
Ooh, there we go.
Best three football players.
Yes. Back in the mid-90s, we had a former USC wide receiver who spent 3 years in the NFL with the Cardinals and later was the football analyst on radio with Pete Arbogast on USC football, John Jackson. Last 2 years, we've had Torrey Hunter Jr., who somehow not only caught 92 passes as a wide receiver at Notre Dame with no touchdown catches.
92 receptions without a touchdown.
Jeez. How do you do that? And then the third was an outfielder named Michael Hermosillo, who in high school was a standout in Ottawa, Illinois. And he was a guy that Illinois had offered him a scholarship to be a slot back. And one game in high school, and there's actually a YouTube video of this, he once rushed for 385 yards in a game, which is pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
9 carries.
Whoa!
Some of his teammates said, "Who did you play? The Little Sisters of the Poor?" He goes, "No, that team went 4-5 that year. They weren't that bad."
385 yards on 9 carries.
That's a nice 42-yard average.
That's a big one.
Really?
That's a big one.
Wow. So when you, I don't know, Steve, you're going to get asked these questions all the time, and I apologize. But like when you go back and you think of the nearly 30 years, are there two or three moments that you're going to immediately go back to? Are there moments that kind of stand out more than others? Because you got a bunch of them, that's for sure.
Probably number one, believe it or not, is the first game ever, just because it was the start of it. And the fact was, we were supposed to open on April 7th of 1994 in Vancouver, and the first 2 days we were rained out. And so that was the last year that the Dome, the Canadian Football League team Dome, downtown Vancouver was in a baseball configuration for Big League weekend because they had the Mariners and the Blue Jays and a couple of other teams in the weekend. And so we were able to work out there for 2 hours each day. And I can remember the first day, our hitting coach, Dan Rohn, spent half the time with a fungo bat trying to hit pop-ups and trying to hit the ceiling with it. And so that, to get rained out the first two games ever and then have to go back-to-back doubleheaders that Saturday and Sunday, talk about an indoctrination into the league, going with back-to-back doubleheaders. So that really still, in a lot of ways, first and foremost, is the one of the top highlights. Another highlight would be on the road in Sacramento, the only no-hitter, nine-inning no-hitter thrown by Salt Lake pitcher by the name of Sean O'Sullivan, and I was so impressed because not only did he throw the no-hitter, only one batter reached base, it was a leadoff walk in the seventh inning, but after the game he was signing ticket stubs, which obviously we don't have anymore, but signing ticket stubs and everything to the Sacramento fans, and I knew full well he was kind of in a hurry because he had to go back to the clubhouse, gather his stuff, and go back home to San Diego to go to his grandmother's funeral. And so that always has stood out in my mind. And then there's always the quirky that stands out in your mind, like the time the Bees won a game in the bottom of the 13th inning on a walk-off detached equipment call, which what that is it was a 3-3 game or 4-4 game, runner at third, two outs, and the pitcher threw a ball into the dirt, and the Tucson catcher, Guillermo Quiros, blocked the ball and then started to use his mask to gather in the baseball, and that's illegal, and that's a one-base advancement. So the guy was able to walk home from third, and we won it, as I say, on a walk-off detached equipment call.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Wow.
Very quirky. No question about it. I've never heard of anything like that. Very quirky. So, Steve, at what point did you realize, this is what I want to do? At what point did you realize, I'm going to call baseball, and I'm going to stay in a market, and I'm going to dig my feet in here? When did that really come to a realization for you?
Well, it's funny. First of all, the first broadcast I ever did, I was 13 years old at the high school radio station, and we lost 34-0, and my cousin was the quarterback, and because he had a different last name and played so lousy, I never mentioned the fact he was my cousin. Then 2 years later, the football team went undefeated, and he was good old Cousin Bob on the radio. But as far as here is concerned, when I moved here in 91 to be a part of the Jazz pre-half and post-team show, as well as the nightly talk show with Dave Blackwell and Ron Boone, and in 1993, we knew that the team was coming. And so, at that time, the station that we were on with the Jazz, the old Kissin' 570, before it even became Sports Radio 570, and KSL were both interested in the broadcast rights. And so, as usual, at a backup, at a par 3 hole at a charity golf outing, I turned to my two bosses, Randy Rigby with the Jazz and Randy Rogers with the radio station, why don't you let me go up to Portland, broadcast the Beavers' last two regular season games back to Salt Lake. That way, the fans would have a feel for what is to come, and it would show Joe Buzis, the owner, that our group was the one that was the most serious about doing the broadcast, and so they thought it was a good idea. I went up there just hoping to do the two games, and then the press box there didn't have any doors, and Joe was actually standing in the doorway, unbeknownst to me, listening, liked what he heard, and went back to both stations and said, whichever one of you has Steve gets the broadcast rights. And so at that point, KSL sent Doug Miller to try to recruit me over to KSL. But, before I got the job with the Jazz, I had been unemployed from full-time work for about 19 months. And, the Jazz rescued me from that and maybe having to stop doing broadcasting. And so I felt a loyalty to them. And so that's how the Jazz and Kissin' 570 got the broadcast rights, and shortly thereafter named me as the broadcaster. So that's kind of how it all started.
Wow. It's a great story, and knowing Randy Rigby and Randy Rogers for a lot of years, you can tell how persuasive those guys can be to, get you to go cross-country, too. Those are two of the finer human beings on the planet. No doubt. So.
There's two things. One, I wish Joe had told me that because I could have maybe negotiated a better deal. And second of all, it wasn't until 7 years ago that they told me who the other finalist for the job was.
I've heard this.
Joe Buck.
Yep, Joe Buck.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I did not hear
him anyway.
Yeah, he did okay, but I had not heard. You did not tell me that. Randy Rogers told me that it was between you and Joe Buck.
Yeah, because he was like 21 years old and fresh out of school. And I think he ended up doing AAA in Louisville for a couple of years before his dad brought him onto the Cardinal broadcast team.
So when you look at this last year with this team, and I know that we'll get to know him a little bit more coming up next week leading up to the first game, but what are your thoughts on this year's club?
It's funny. I have an idea who might be here, but we have not received a peep from the Angels yet. They haven't made really very many cuts. Obviously, they've got to make the decision with Joe Adell, who's been the prospect in waiting for the last couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back. Some of the veteran pitching that was so successful last year, and actually for the first time in Salt Lake history, won their earned run average crown. Some of those guys will be back. The thing I'm most excited about in regards to the team, and this being my last year, is that a guy who's had two previous stints as our manager and played here for 2 years back in the early 2000s. Keith Johnson is back as our skipper. He's lived in Salt Lake since the early 2000s. He's a fiery guy. The previous coaching staff, which, by the way, was they were all fired right after the last game in Oklahoma City last September. And Keith's a guy that I've known for a long time. Great to have him back. This is a team that will play much harder than what we've seen the last couple of years, and I think is going to make this a winning team and hopefully get the team into the playoffs for the first time since 2013.
Hey, Steve, I've got a lot of Wildcat fans asking how this will affect your Wildcat coverage.
Fortunately, I'm not completely retiring after this year. I will continue as long as they want me to do Wildcat football and basketball. The people at Weber State over the last 8 years that I've done it have been great to be with and very supportive, and looking forward to continuing my association with the Wildcats in the near future.
How was it Montana where you guys had the steal and then the kick out to the three for the win?
Yes.
I retweeted that because I'm like, this is classic Steve. Just a awesome call and a great moment. And it's why you're the best best out there, man. You just do such a tremendous job and have for so many years. And there's been, you know, it's been kind of fun because we've had a lot of part-timers and some stay in the business and some don't. But a lot of times, you know, some of those part-timers work beast games. And follow those guys on Twitter and all the great interactions. I remember back in 2003 coming down on the weekends. I was still living in Logan. I was still going to school. But I would come down and produce some games on the weekend. You know, Jeff Rickard and Eric Ray would let me, you know, throw a few shifts my way over the weekend just to try to get my foot in the door. And my first job was producing beast games. And, you know, and you had every right to be a jerk and say you're screwing up and you can't produce a game to save your life. But the patience you showed with me and so many others, man, I can't thank you enough for all of those early moments, for sure.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the producers who had the ability to stay awake listening to me drone on for 3 hours a night.
Hey, how was Scotty at his job back then?
Bad.
You weren't bad. You weren't bad. You know, no one who has done it's been bad. Some have struggled more than others, but you know, I guess I'm a guy that I still care deeply about the product on the air. But yelling and chewing people out at the other end is just not my style. I think encouragement's the best way to go about it. And fortunately, a lot of those people who have, as you mentioned, Scott, have stayed in the business. They've done gone on to greater things. Heck, one of my early board ops, as a matter of fact, he was board opping the night that John Stockton hit the shot to beat the Rockets to get the Jazz into the finals the first time, was the guru of Phoenix radio, Ryan Hatch.
Yeah, yep.
And I remember coming out of the commercial, or going into commercial break, and he's yelling and screaming at the other end, like, what happened? And so he explained what happened. And so, probably not the right thing to do, but I had a rather speedy post-game show so I could get back to the hotel and watch the highlights. And then it dawned on me when I got back to the hotel, wait a minute, I'm in Edmonton. TSN, the sports channel there, the first 26 minutes of their 36-minute sports center was all Stanley Cup playoff highlights. So I had to wait till midnight, because at midnight, all of the cable system in Edmonton got their American television programming from the TV stations in Spokane. So it was 11. They had the 11 o'clock news, not 10 o'clock. So the 11 o'clock news was on at 12 in Edmonton. So at 12, all the Spokane stations led with it because of John. And so I finally got to see the highlight.
Oh, wow. No, I remember, like, the first broadcast, there was a travel agency, like, called, I think, Good Times Travel or something like that. And I made, like, a dynamite joke, and I could hear Steve on the other, like, just shut up and push
don't,
the buttons.
Don't.
Just
do
don't.
Yeah, if anybody's going to tell bad jokes, it's me.
Hey, Steve, I don't want to get too personal on this, but what does retirement look like?
I'm not even sure at this point. Obviously, we'd like to be able to do a little travel. I mean, we both turned 68 within the last couple of months or what have you. And so we want to do a little travel, and, you know, because we haven't had a summer vacation since 1993. So that's probably first and foremost for us. You know, not sure where or what we want to do. And, you know, maybe, you know, my brother and I, who's the Cubs fan and Packers fan, so we've butted heads for years, we might do a five game and five city tour and mix in major and minor league baseball just for the fun of it. And But to, you know, spend more time with Sue, because I mean, we've been married, it'll be 47 years in August. We've probably only been together for, I don't know, 27 of those years, because wow. I've been gone so much. I mean, I just got my statement from Marriott, and apparently I've now stayed in a Marriott property 700 nights over the last 20 years. And that's just the Marriott properties.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't want to do math on air, but that's nearly 2 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But believe me, in the early years of this league, I'd be more than happy to have stayed at any kind of Marriott, because the one thing that's improved more than anything else over my years has been the hotels the teams put you up at, because the home team decides where the visiting team stays. The worst was a place in Albuquerque, and I don't really want to describe it. All I can tell you is the name of the hotel and the room rate, and it'll tell you the whole story. The room rate was $39, and the name of the hotel was the MCM Elegante. Guys, the free breakfast buffet was overpriced.
See, those are the jokes we need.
As you're eating it, you're like, I know I didn't pay, but I'm going to pay.
Well, it was bad. It was bad.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, Steve, we're fired up for a full season of baseball, and we look forward to catching up with you again. Good luck this year, and let's make this a regular occurrence, all right?
I would appreciate it. It would be great. I love talking to you guys, and you guys continue to do what you're doing. You do it the best. You guys have a lot of fun, and as you well know from some of my texts, if I'm driving around, I'm listening to you two in the afternoon.
I appreciate it. That means a lot.
Yeah, you mean a lot to us, Steve. Thank you.
There he is. Steve Klauke right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is the farewell tour, which, by the way, he will not like anybody referencing that.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com. or wherever you get your podcasts.